Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Brachos Daf Yud Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Following the conclusion of our regular Daf Yomi Gemara shiur, we will offer a supplemental shiur covering the Tosfos of our daf for those who are interested. Today's shiur begins 8 lines from the top. You'll notice a framed section representing a Tanaic source. This, in fact, is a quote from that which we learned back on Daf Yud Aleph Omid Beis, where we discussed the Kohanim from Maseches Tomid, a source, where the appointed one, the Memuna, told them in the middle of their morning Tomid service, they were offering the daily sacrifice. So in the course of their offering, they went off to the Lishkas HaGozis, and there was a davening that took place there, and this source tells us what they said. And it says, V'kurin aseres hadibros, they would read the Ten Commandments, Shema v'hoyim shomoa v'yomer, the three paragraphs that make up the Kriya Shema, Emes v'yatziv, the first bracha that follows the morning Kriya Shema, Va'avoidah, which is Birchas Ritzei, that we say in the Shmon Esrei, U'Birchas Kohanim, and the three psukim that make up the Birchas Kohanim. The emphasis in this piece of Gemara concerns the Aseres HaDibros, hence we dashed underline that, and the topic heading that you'll notice in the outside margin that we entitle Nosei, we have written Aseres HaDibros Kechelek HaTfilah, the issue of incorporating the Ten Commandments as part of the regular davening. The Gemara goes on, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Af Bigvulin Bikshu Likros Kain. Gvulin is a reference to the area outside the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, every place other than the Beis HaMikdash is called Gvulin. So that means, in general, there was this attempt or desire to read the Aseres HaDibros as part of the davening. Eloshikvar Bitlum, but there was a rejection of that plan, of that idea, Mipnei Taroimes Haminim, because of the claims, the false claims that the skeptics, that the non-believers might make. The Rashi explains, across from here, Rashi says, Mipnei Taroimes Haminim, Shelo Yoimru Le'amei Oretz, the Minim, who are like the skeptics, the heretics, would say to the uninformed, to the ignoramuses, Ein Shar HaTorah Emes, the rest of the Torah, other than the Ten Commandments, is not true. The Teidu, and beware of this, She'en Korin Elo Ma She'omar Kodesh Baruch Hu V'shamu Mipiv B'Sinai. As you can see, that the only thing that you say is the Ten Commandments, and nothing else. No other parts of the Torah. And showing that that is the only thing that they all heard as a nation from the from the voice of the Almighty Himself. And that's why you're reading that, so as to forestall that heretical claim. We simply do not incorporate the Aseres HaDibros as part of the Kriya Shema reading. Tanya Nami Hochi, we have a Tanaic source that supports this. Rabbi Nosson Omer, Bigvulin Bikshu Likros Kain. Rabbi Nosson tells us that outside the Beis HaMikdash there was this desire to incorporate the Aseres HaDibros, Eloshikvar Bitlum. They canceled it or voided it, Mipnei Taroimes Haminim, because of the fear of the heretical claims that may arise. Rabba Bar Chana, now you'll see here we have a triangle, and on the outside margin under our Mivneh, which is a structural note, we have explained Nisyonos Likbo Aseres HaDibros B'Tfila, two actual cases where there was an attempt to establish the Ten Commandments as part of the regular davening. Here you have a story involving Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Sovar Lemikbeinu Besura, Sura is the name of his city. He wanted to have it as part of the davening, part of the prayer service in Sura. Amar Le Rav Chisda, Rav Chisda told Rabba, he said, Kvar Bitnu Mitnei Tarum Es Haminim, that has already been declared null and void, rejected, because of the tarumas, the fear of the heretical claims of the minim. Amemar sovelik benu b'nardo. Amemar had his idea of establishing the Aseres Dibros in the city of Nahardo. Amale Ravashi. Ravashi said to him, like we saw before, kvar bitlum mitnei tarumas haminim. We also learned in Maseches Tomit, we have a little star to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text indicating Yud Aleph Omid Beis, and if you look back there, you'll see where this quote comes from. U'b'Shabbos Moisifin Brocha L'Mishmor Hayotzei. We described in our previous shiur that there was a changing of the guard, so to speak. The service groups of Kehanim would serve from week to week, and a service group is called a Mishmar. So the groups would change from week to week. There were actually 24 groups that served throughout the year, and they would each time serve for a 1 week period twice during the year. So there was a changeover on Shabbos itself. So the source tells us that on Shabbos they would add a prayer, a brocha, blessing for the Mishmar Hayotze. In other words, the new group would say a prayer or a brocha. My brocha achas, what was that single brocha? Omar Rabbi Chelboi, Mishmor Hayotze, Omer the Mishmor HaNichnas, the old service group, the departing group would say to the incoming group, Misha Shochan es Shmoy Bebayis Hazeh, he whose name dwells in this house, Hu Yashkin Beinechem, he should cause to dwell amongst you, Ahavo V'Achvo, love and brotherhood, brotherliness, V'Shalom V'Reus, and peace and friendship. Mokom Shomru Laharich, this we saw in our Mishnah, where it said where there is, where the practice is to have a long bracha, so one is not entitled to shorten it. The Gemara here goes off on what seems to be an unrelated discussion, but there will be a tie-in to our sukya involving the Birkas Kriyashma as one of the quotes that the Gemara will feature as the Gemara unfolds. So before we go into the Gemara itself, let's take a look at our topic heading and structural note in the outside margin. You see the Nosei and Mivneh, we've combined them into one note. The crown form is featured. As you look on in the Gemara, you'll see these two, these crown forms. Shnei Matzavim, two cases, two situations. Nokat Kosa, where a person is about to take a drink. So he's Nokat Kosa, he's holding a cup of the Chamra, wine, or the Shichra, or beer. Wine has a different bracha that one would recite over it before drinking it than beer. Wine, you say, borei pri hagefen, and shichra, you say, shakol niyeh bedvaro. The Gemara here will discuss psichas bracha bekavona loy nechoina v'siyum nochon, where a person opens up the bracha, baruch ato Hashem Elokeinu, he says that with a mindset that is incorrect. In other words, he thinks that what he's holding is something other than what it is in actuality. So he thinks it's something else. And with that other thing in mind, he opens up the bracha. However, as you all know, that's a standard opening for all brachas. So there's nothing evident in the text that he says when he has this wrong mindset. It's all in his mind. But he has this incorrect mindset. However, he, before finishing the bracha, when he gets to Melech Ha'olam, he reminds himself, he becomes aware of what it really is, and finishes off the bracha correctly. By way of introduction, it should be pointed out that different kinds of foods have different brachas, as many of you are probably well aware. There are cases of one type of bracha post facto being considered good enough to cover something else, even though it's not its designed bracha. And that you have in the case of the bracha known as the bracha of Shehakol. The bracha of Shehakol Nieh B'dvoro, that can cover other foods, even though it's the Shehakol is not its designed bracha, it's its specific bracha. Now, let us turn to the Gemara. Pshita, hecha denoka dekonokit kosa dechamro biyodei. The following is a halacha that is obvious, doesn't have to be discussed. And what's the obvious case? Person is holding a cup of wine, chamra's wine, in his hand. The kosovar deshichrahu, and he thinks it's beer. Posach umevorech adaito deshichra. He opens up with the shehakol in mind, and when we say he opens up, it means that the beginning of the bracha he starts with the intention of finishing off with shehakol. So he says Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu. Those are the he says the name of the Almighty with a shehakol mindset. And then when he gets to Melech Olam, he remembers that he's holding wine, and he finishes off Borei Pri Melech Olam, Borei Pri Gefen. So this is not a difficult case as to whether he fulfills his basic requirement or not. The Gemara says he opens up with the das, with the mindset, with the intention of shichra, meaning of beer, which is an intention to say shehakol. The siyem b'dechamra, and he ends off saying the correct ending, the borei priya gefen. Yotza, he fulfills his requirement. The inami im omar shakol niyeh b'dvor, even if he had finished off with the seemingly incorrect mindset, even that yotza, he would have fulfilled his bracha requirements by ending off with shakol on the cup of wine that he was holding. The Hotnan, the Mishnah says later on Daf Mem in this Masechta, Al Kulam, on all foods, Im Omar Shakol Nieh Bidvoro Yotza, if one said, and that's what we call if is Bidievet or post facto, if one said Shakol, he is Yotze. So that case is not something we have to discuss. Elo, Hecha de Konokit Kosa de Shichra Biyodei. A person is holding a cup of beer in his hand. The kosovar de chamrahu, thinking initially that it's wine. Posach uborach adaita de chamra. He opens up his brocha where he says Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu. He says the Almighty's name with a wine mindset, meaning an intention to finish off with borei pri hagefen, which does not help for beer. Borei Pri HaGefen is a specific type bracha, as opposed to the Shehakol, which was a general bracha. It's a specific bracha, and hence it has no relevance to that which he is holding. However, he becomes aware, v'siyem b'deshichra, and he ends off correctly, my. What is the halacha here? Boser ikur bracha, as you know, do we emphasize, the ikur means the beginning, his is that what establishes matters, the beginning, where he says the name of the Almighty with an incorrect mindset? And here, he had an incorrect mindset, totally incorrect. And therefore, we wouldn't even pay attention to the ending that he ends off correctly. And as such, the bracha that he made would have to be made again. He'd have to make a correct bracha. Oi, boser chasima azlinan. Or do we emphasize the signing off of the bracha, the conclusion of the bracha? And in this case, in fact, the conclusion was correct. So what is the law? Here we have a situation of a competition between the beginning, the ikur, versus the end, the chasima, where the two cannot be considered one and the same. What is the halacha? So the Gemara answers. The triangle is featured in the outside margin under our nosei. You can see hemshech means this is a continuation of the topic we started. And the mivneh, the structural note, includes here the triangle. These are nisyonos lifshot. These are attempts. These triangles represent attempts to conclude ibaser ikur brocha azninan. Do we follow the opening of the brocha? In other words, the mindset that a person has at the beginning. Or ibaser chasim azninan, or the conclusion of the brocha, which is done correctly. The Gemara. Ta shma. We should point out, there's another marking, the diamond that appears afterwards. Those are dechios. They are rejections, saying, she'ein lifshot ha'shela me'amokor shachris posach. These are rejections telling us that do not conclude from the source that we are about to learn. But in the meantime, we are going to try to conclude from this Tanaic source. This source deals with the brachos of Kriya Shema. There's a morning Kriya Shema, and there's a nighttime Kriya Shema. Shachris, we've used the underline to highlight Shachris and later Arvis. Shachris, Posach B'Yotzer Or. In Shachris, he opens up with the correct mindset, because that is the bracha we say in the morning for the first pre-Kriya Shema bracha is, we say, Yotzer Or Uvorech Hoshech, Oseh Shalom Uvorech Koil. So he opened up B'Yotzer, meaning with the correct intention. The Siyem B'Mariv Arovim, Lo Yotza. When he gets to Melech Olam, he then continues in the morning to say the evening bracha, which is Asher Bidvoroi Mariv Arovim, etc. So the Mishnah, this Tanaic source tells us, Lo Yotza, he does not fulfill his requirement. However, Posach B'Mariv Arovim, the Siyem Bo Yotzer Or, Yotza. He opens up with the incorrect mindset. The Mariv Arovim is the evening, and we're dealing with a fellow in the morning. So he ends off with the, he starts off with a, with an incorrect mindset. In other words, when he says, Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu, he is intending to continue incorrectly. However, when he gets to Melech Olam, he straightens himself out. V'siyein b'yotzer or yotza. He ends off correctly. That's what counts. Arvis, now in the evening. Posach b'mariv arovim. He opens up in the evening with a correct intention. The C.A. b'yotzer or lo yotza. He ends off incorrectly. He's not yotze. He doesn't fulfill his requirement. Posach b'yotzer or, he opens up with, in the evening, with an incorrect mindset. The siyem b'mariv arovim yotza, and he ends off correctly. He fulfills his requirement. Kloloi shodavar hakol holech achar hachosum. The rule is that everything follows the signing off, the conclusion. Well, if we go back to our question, he was holding a cup of beer, started off with an incorrect mindset, finished off correctly. Notice a few lines above, there's a dashed underlined siyem b'deshichra. That means the signing off, the chasima, was done correctly. We asked, what is the din? When the opening is a mistake, mistaken mindset, ending is correct, what is the din? What do we see in this source? Well, if the ending is correct, you fulfill your requirements. So that would answer our question. The Gemara rejects this answer. Shiny Hasam, the case of the Birchas Kriya Shema source that we just read is different than the case of the Shehakol. Dekaomar Baruch Ato Hashem Yoytze Hamaoros. There is a signing off bracha, whereby you actually you say a bracha text where you say the name of the Almighty together with the correct signing off. The ending of the Birchas Kriya Shema Let's take the morning case, for example. He ends off the morning Kriya Shema Brocha, the first Brocha, with a correct Brocha text. Baruch Ato Hashem Yoytzer HaMa'oyrois. That is different than a person who ends off in the beer case. He ends off by simply saying, Melech Olam Shehakol Nieh B'Dvaro. There's no Brocha text. There's no Baruch Ato Hashem. There's no reference to the name of the Almighty in the context of a Brocha text. So that in the case of the triangled source, we have a redeeming feature there that allows us to say, go after the sign-off. Because the sign-off, the chasima, was a Brocha text. But however, the Gemara says, was the sign-off really a Brocha text? What is the text of the sign-off there? You say, Baruch Ato Hashem Yoytzamros. Notice that you don't have the expression, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. You just have the name of the Almighty Hashem. Is that really a Brocha text? That, in fact, is a machlokas between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. So, the Gemara says, Honicha leRav. Honicha means it is fine that you reject this triangle source as an answer. In other words, the rejection is fine according to Rav. Rav's standard of what a brocha is as follows. This is in the negative. Any brocha that lacks the mention of Hashem is not a brocha. Therefore, if it has Hashem, like the case of Baruch Ato Hashem Yoytzer HaMa'oros, you do have the name of the Almighty, that is a totally good bracha. And therefore, we would be able to reject the triangled source because there you have an end-off, which is a completely good bracha, as opposed to the beer case where you don't have such an end-off. Elo l'Rab Yochanan d'Yomar, ko bracha she'en bo malchus eino bracha. Any bracha that lacks the Elokeinu Melech HaOlam loshon to it. Malchus means acknowledgement of the Almighty's reign and kingship over the world. So if you don't have the expression Elokeinu Melech HaOlam in a bracha, it's not considered a bracha. It's not considered a full bracha. Going back to the triangle source, what's the end off there? Baruch Ato Hashem Yoytzer HaMa'oros. So you don't really have a bracha text there. So it would seem to parallel the case of where you end off in the beer case, Shehakol Nieh B'Dvaro. And if that's the case, both are similar in there. Both don't have a sign-off bracha. And that being so, I would be able to conclude the question from the Birchas Kriya Shema source and say that he's Yotze, that he fulfills his requirement in the case of the beer where he started off incorrectly but ended off with a correct text. The Gemara says, no, you still cannot conclude the question from there. Hence, we have another diamond. Ella, the Kriya Shema Brocha case has an advantage over the Bir Shehakol case. Ella, Kevan Dioma Rabo Bar Ula. Rabo Bar Ula says, and we have learned this back on Daf Yud Aleph, Kedei Lahaskir Midas Yoim Balaila Umidas Laila Bayom. This we saw in the Gemara Daf Yud Aleph when discussing why we say Yotzer Or Uvorei Choshech. Why do we mention Choshech when we say a morning Birchas Kriya Shema? And he said the reason for that is, we said back on Daf Yud Aleph, is because day as well as night, we want to mention the other time period as well. So that in the morning you want to make mention of night, and in the night you want to make mention of the morning. Therefore, ki ko'omar brocha umalchus me'ikora, atravayu ko'omar. Let's read that again. Ki ko'omar brocha umalchus me'ikora, atravayu ko'omar. When he says in the opening brocha, let's take the case of the morning, where he opens up with an evening mindset. And he ends off correctly. So not only is the ending correct, but there is the beginning also fulfills the pattern designed for the Birchas Kriya Shema. Because in the beginning, true, I'm in the morning and I'm opening up with the with an intention of mentioning evening. Well, I'm supposed to mention evening in the morning Birchas Kriya Shema anyway. So even when I said Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu, and I had an evening mindset with the Shemu Malchus, with the mentioning of the Almighty's name and the reign aspect of the reignship, kingship, monarchy of Hashem, I did so with something that is in fact appropriate for Birchas Kriya Shema. Therefore, in the case of Birchas Kriya Shema, where the ending off is correct, and in the beginning, I seem to be opening up with a mention of the other time period, but that's okay. That too is okay. So I have a signing off that's good, and I have an opening that is within the realm of the Birchas Kriya Shema idea. Therefore, I can be Yotzei. What about our case of the Shehakol and the beer, where I opened up with an incorrect mindset of an intention to say Borei Pri HaGefen? True, I ended off correctly, but the opening was totally out of bounds, was totally incorrect. What happens in such a case? Do I emphasize the intent, the incorrect intent at the beginning, and hence he wouldn't fulfill his bracha requirement over the beer? Or do I emphasize the ending, which was stated correctly? Toshma miseifa. So we go try to bring a proof from the original, the triangle source. However, at the end there was a general comment. It said klolo shel davar hakol halech achar achasum. This was at the seifa, the end of that Tanaic source, and it stated rule that everything follows the chasum, the conclusion. Klolo shel davar simai. This expression, general rule, in other words, beyond the case of the Birchas Kriya Shema, the source told us that there is a general rule. This general rule is coming to include what other case? Lav nasuye ho damoron. Is it not coming to include our case, that which we said, the case of the beer, where he opens up with an incorrect mindset but ends off properly, and the only thing that matters is the end off? Loi. The Klolo Shel Davar source, the rule, the broad rule that was stated, is not coming to include our case. It's coming to include the case of Nahamo v'Tamri. Nahamo is bread, Tamri are dates. Well, Heichi Domi, what's the case of the bread and the dates? Before going further, just to recall that which is probably very obvious to many of you, the bracha on bread is Hamotzi Lechem in Haaretz. The bracha on dates is Borei Pri Haaretz. There's a closing bracha that is also important to note, because in this example we will be emphasizing not the opening bracha, which we just said, but rather the closing bracha. On bread we say Birkas Hamozoin. On dates we say what's called Me'ein Shalosh, which is Al Ho'etz V'Al Pri Ho'etz, etc. So the Gemara tells us that the source that we read above doesn't address our case of the beer with the opening wine intention, but rather it comes to include the case of bread and dates. And you will see that we're going to be emphasizing the issue of the closing bracha. Heichi Domi, what's the case? If we're talking about someone that ate bread, v'kosavar d'tamri ochal, and he thought, for whatever reason, he got confused, and he thought that he had eaten dates. Uposach adaito d'tamri, and he started off his final bracha, his end bracha, with a date mindset. In other words, he said, Baruch ato Hashem Elokeinu, with an intention to say Al Ho'etz V'Al Pri Ho'etz, which does not help at all for bread. So he started off with a totally ineffective opening. the siyem b'dinahamo, and he went on to say hazones ha'olam kulo b'tuvo, the text of the brichas hamazon. Well, hainu ba'ayon, that's our question. That's the same thing as the guy holding the cup of beer, thinking initially that it's wine, an ineffective opening, and effective closing. That would be the same thing. So why shouldn't I be able to conclude our question from this general rule of klolo shadovra kol chachar chasum? Loi tzricha. Rather, the case is not what we just said, but rather, kagoin diochal tamri. Someone ate dates. The kosovar nam ochal. And he thought, when he opened up his bracha, he thought that he had eaten bread. Uposach bidinahamo. And he opened up the final bracha, the after meal bracha, Bracha Achroina, we call it. Uposach b'dinahamo. He said Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu with an intention of going on with Birkas Hamazon. V'siyem b'detamri, and he ended off correctly with the Alo Eitz Val Priyo Eitz continuation. Yatsa, he fulfills his Bracha Achroina requirements with that. Why? Even if he would have ended off with the text of the Birkas HaMozoin, Hazon es Ha'olam Kulo B'tuvo, even if he would have ended off with the intention that he had when he said the Shem Hashem, he would have fulfilled his requirement. Why is that? My time. Answer, the Tamri Nami Mezen Zaini. Dates are a unique kind of food in that they are a type of food that has a similar characteristic to bread. Mezen zaini means they serve as a type of sustenance of a person. They are mezen. I would hesitate to use an English word like they are nutritious, because that could apply to many other kinds of foods, but we're talking about some kind of food characteristic that dates have in common with bread, that they are described by the Gemara as mezen zaini. And as a result of their having this characteristic, to say, notice the word mezen from the word mozon or zon. Therefore, when you say in your opening, you have a brichas hamozon intention regarding a person who had eaten dates, he's not off the mark. As opposed to our question of someone holding a cup of beer, opening up with a wine intention, he's totally off the mark. Therefore, the source that we had with the triangle, the Birkas Kriyashma, and the end of that source, the Klolo Shadover section, both do not address our case. So our case, as far as this Gemara is concerned, remains unresolved. We continue in the Gemara. You'll notice we have marking here, a double underline featuring comments of Rabo Bar Chinuno Sabo Mishmei de Rav. Omar Rabo Bar Chinuno Sabo Mishmei de Rav Kol Shaloi Omar Emes V'yatziv Shachris V'emes V'emuno Arvis Loi Yotso Yedei Choyvosop. If you don't say this text of these are the first brachas after the Shemona Esrei. If you don't say them as you're supposed to, you aren't in fulfillment of your Birkas Kriya Shema requirement. Shenemar lahagid baboker chazdecha ve'emunoscha balelois. Let's look at the Rashi. Rashi says, we're looking at Rashi that you'll find toward the end of the narrow lines. Kol ni shelo omar birkas emes v'yatziv kelo shetiknua. Anyone who didn't say the text of emes v'yatziv v'nochon v'kav etc. as it was established. Likewise, if you don't say emes v'emuna in the evening, the text as it's established hasn't fulfilled his requirements. Shenemar lahagid baboker chazdecha. Upirkas emes viatziv kulo al chesed she'oso im avoiseinu hi. The emes viatziv text deals with the loving kindness that the Almighty showed to our forefathers, showed Siyumi Mitzrayim. He took them out, he redeemed them from Egypt. Uboka lohem hayom vehaviram. These are ideas that you find in the text of the Emes V'Yatziv Bracha. So if you open up a siddur and look into the text, you will see these points are mentioned, the departure from Mitzrayim and the splitting of the sea. Ubirkas Emes V'Emuna medaber bo af al ho'asidois. The evening post Kriya Shema Bracha deals with the future. Shanu mitzapim shiikayim lanu haftachosu v'emunosu legolenu miad molochim u'miad oritzim. We anticipate the Almighty redeeming us from kings and other harsh rulers. V'losum nafshenu b'chayim u'ladrichenu abomoy suvenu, to put us in life and allow us to trample the high spots of our enemies. Kol eile hanisim hatadirim tamid. These are actually regularly occurring miracles. This is what has to be mentioned in the evening. So as a result of this insistence, if you don't say these texts, so you're not fulfilling the requirement. Continuing in the Gemara, the Omar Rabba Bar Chinino Sabo Mishmei de Rav Hamispalel, when davening the Shmon Esrei, there are four bowings that take place in the Shmon Esrei. Hamispalel Kishu Korea B'Boruch. There is a Korea is very likely a bowing in the sense of bending one's knees, so that the knee bending type action is done in when you say the word Boruch. We say Boruch Ato Hashem. We say, when you say the word Boruch, so the knee is bent. Ukshu Zokef, when you reassume a position of erectness, then you Zokef B'Shem, with the mentioning of the name of the Almighty, you are to be standing straight up. Omar Shmuel, my time of the Rav. What is the reason for this? Why are we saying that at the bending is only at the beginning, the opening word Baruch Ato, you're bent, and with the mention of the name of the Almighty, you are straight. Dichtiv, the pasuk says Hashem Zokef Kfufim, the name of Hashem, and then Zokef Kfufim is he is standing straight. Meisve, we ask from a posuk, Mipnei Shmi Nachasu. Now, Shmi, because of my name, Nachas is a lotion of Rashi says, Hachno'o, literally humility, but it's a bent position. So, you see that with the name of Hashem mentioned, one is bent over. So the Gemara says, no, that's not what it says in this pasuk. Mi ksiv bishmi, does it say, during my name, in my name, you are bent? Mipnei shmi ksiv. Mipnei shmi would mean, in the face of my name, before my name, you are bent over. But when you actually mention the name of Hashem, you're already straightened up. Omar le Shmuel lechio barav. Shmuel addresses the son of Rav and says, Bar Urion, son of scholar, of wise man, Tovei Moloch Milsum Aliyasot, come and I will tell you some positive thing, De Omar Avuch, that your father, Rav, said, Hochi Omar Avuch, thusly your father said, Kishu Korea, Korea B'Boruch, when he bends at the mention of the word Boruch, Kishu Zokef, Zokef B'Shem, and when he reassumes a erect position, that he does before the mention, or with the mention of the name of the Almighty. Daf Sheshes Ki Kora, Kora Ki Chizra. We're here at the top of Daf Yud Beis Omid Beis. Rav Sheshes Ki Kora, when Rav Sheshes bent, Kora Ki Chizra. Chisra is a rod or staff, a stick. You have to imagine someone holding a stick and making a downward motion. Often that would be made in a rapid one-shot downward motion. So Rav Sheshis would go down, so to speak, in his bending. He would bend like a stick, and that means in a rapid one-action movement. And Kikora, Kikozokif, when he would straighten himself out, Zokif Kichivyo, he would reassume an upright position like a Chivyo. Chivyo often is translated as a serpent. If we look at the Rashi at the top says Kichizra, Shevet. Shevet is a rod, Biyad Odom, in a person's hands. The Chovto Klapi Matav Vazachas, and he lowers it downwards in one motion. Zokif kechivya binachas. Binachas means in a slow way. Rosho tchila, he would be literally picking up his head. So viachakach gufo, and then the rest of his body is torso. Shelo tireh kriyoso olov kemasui. Going up slowly shows that his being bent over was not something painful or difficult for him. So that what we are describing here would be a situation where a person, as together with the bending of his knees, he bends kriya. The Gemara says elsewhere that the kriya al birkov, that kriya is a bending that has to do with knees. Birkov are knees. So we're assuming in our presentation, our shiur for today, that kara has to do with a knee type of bending action. But at the same time, he is bending over at his waist as well, with his head facing down. Down meaning facing toward the ground. So you have to imagine a motion where he bows with his knees and waist and his head all facing downwards. And when he gets up, he picks up his head while he's still bent over. First, his head straightens up. Where a moment before his eyes were peering toward the ground, he now, his head alone, repositions itself facing forward, and then after that, the rest of his body slowly reassumes a standing position. So that description is something that may remind some of you the way a snake would rise from a lying position, where first its head is goes up, and then the rest of its body. The Gemara continues another memra of Rabba. The Omar Rabba Bar Chinuno Sabo Mishmei de Rav. Kol Hashana Kula. The section of Gemara we're going to learn right now is introduced on the outside margin, under the where we've written in Toisofois Bishmein Esrei Baseres Yemei Tshuva. Different additions and changes we make to the Shmein Esrei during the 10 days of penitence, which are really the 10 days that go from Rosh Hashanah till Yom Kippur inclusive. During those 10 day, that 10 day period, there are changes in the Shmona Esrei. So Rabba tells us that Kol Hashana Kula Adam Mispalel Hokela Kadosh Melech Oyev Tzdoko Mishpat. The ending of the third bracha of the Shmona Esrei is, we say Baruch Atah Hashem Hokela Kadosh, and in the middle section of the short brachas in the Shmona Esrei, one of them ends off Melech Oyhev Tzedoko Mishpat. Chutz Me'aseres Yomim Shebein Rosh Hashanah V'Yom Kippurim, with the exception of the 10 days lasting from Rosh Hashanah till Yom Kippur inclusive, Shemispalel HaMelech HaKadosh, the Hokel HaKadosh brachas changed to HaMelech HaKadosh, the Holy King, because during that period of time, the Almighty is sitting as a king in judgment. So we want to emphasize that aspect of the Almighty. And we also say V'hamelech HaMishpat. Instead of saying Melech Oyev Tzedok HaMishpat, we say HaMelech HaMishpat. V'Rabbi Elazar Omar. Now, we have a point that he makes. You'll see it lasts about five lines. We have a long point indicator, the Nun, that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, is a Nikuda, a point. Rabbi Elazar Omar, Afilu Omar Hokel HaKadosh Yotza. If a person during the Aser Shemei Tshuva says Hokel HaKadosh, Rebbe Lozer is of the opinion that he is Yotzei. Shenemar Vayigba Hashem Tzvokos Bamishpot V'Hokel HaKadosh Nikdash Bitztoka. Notice the Loshon Hokel HaKadosh in this pasuk. Amosai Vayigba Hashem Tzvokos Bamishpot. When is the Almighty lofty in judgment? When is judgment characteristic of the Almighty? Elu Asor Yomim Shemei Rosh Hashanah V'Yad Yom HaKippurim. That is a reference to this particular block of time, the 10 days, the Aser Shemei Tshuva, which we're discussing right now. Because, and in this pasuk it says, Hokel HaKadosh, showing that that as Rebbe Lozer wants to say, showing that the ending of Hokel HaKadosh would be legitimate during that time period. My Havia law. Here the Gemara wants to know what is the final law. On the one hand, Rabbo Bar Chinana would seem to say that if you said Hokel HaKadosh, you would not be Yotzei. Rebbe Lozer says you would be Yotzei. Omar Rav Yosef, Hokel HaKadosh, Umelech Oyev Tztoka Umishpat. Rav Yosef says that it's okay even if you don't make the change like Rabbo Bar Chinana mentioned. Rabbo Omar, Rabbo disagrees and says, Hamelech HaKadosh V'Hamelech HaMishpat. Rabbo says you have to make the changes, V'Hilchiso K'Rabbo. And the Gemara's conclusion is, we shall follow Rabbo's ruling. However, as we've mentioned in the past in our Gemara markings, Shiur, that one is not to come to any Halacha lemaisa conclusions, practical application of halacha from our shiurim. We are not learning Shulchan Aruch, and we're not learning your final practical halacha rulings. So, what we see here as the end of the Gemara is not necessarily what we say in a halacha lemaisa sense. That having been said, we continue. Another comment of his. That's why you see the double underline again. Anyone who is in the who has the capacity of seeking mercy for his friend through prayer and doesn't do so, nikra chote, is called a sinner. Shinemar gam onochi choliloli mechatoli mechatol dispala badchem. So you see here that the pasuk is telling us that heaven forbid that I should sin to Hashem through withholding myself. Mechadol is to withhold oneself, l'spal ba'adchem, for praying on your behalf. So that you see that if one would do that, he would be called a chote, he would be called a sinner. Omar Rava im Talmid Chacham hu. If the one who requires the prayer is someone who is a Talmud Chacham, a Torah scholar, then there's an expectation, a higher expectation even, on behalf of the one who is praying, Tzorach Shiyech La'atzmolov. When you daven, you'd have to daven with such effort that you would become sick over it. In other words, to strain yourself in prayer for the benefit of the Talmud Chacham. My Taima, what's the source of that idea? So, Ilema, if you'll say, Mishum Dechsiv, it says in the context of Shaul HaMelech, he says, V'ein chole mikem olai, v'gole es ozni. He is complaining that no one is chole over me. No one is making themselves sick over me for my welfare. Well, Dilma Melech Shaini. It could be that the standard we apply when it comes to a king is in fact different. That one, for a king, has to pray with such intensity. Elo Mehocha. Rather, from here we see the idea of praying for a Talmud Chacham to the extent that when davening you have to be, you make yourself sick. So there's a pasuk here from dealing with David HaMelech, who was praying on behalf of Achitofel, and Rashi points out that Achitofel was a Torah scholar. So the pasuk says, "Vani b'chaloisam levushi sak," in their illness, I wore sackcloth. And it goes on to say in that pasuk, "Inisi b'tzom nafshi," I strained myself in through fasting, utfilasi al cheki tashuv. So we see that here is a pasuk where, in davening for a Talmud Chacham, one has to go all out, as David HaMelech says in his davening for Achitofel. The Gemara continues, and before we begin, continue with this Gemara, on the outside margin we have our topic heading, the Nosei, Ha'oisa Avera U'mizbayish Bo Moichalin Loi, one who sins but then feels a feeling of embarrassment or remorse over his sin, is a bad feeling from having sinned, he deserves forgiveness for that. V'yomar Rabo bar chinin osavo mishmei derav kol oisid bar avera u'mizbayesh boi, anyone who does something of a sinful nature and is embarrassed over it, moichalin loy al kol avonosav, he is forgiven for all his sins. Shinemar, you'll notice we have this diamond form. These are sources for this idea. The pasuk says, "Leman tizkiri vavoisht v'lo yeh loch oid pisrein peh mitnei klimosech bekafri loch l'chol asher osis ne'um Hashem Elokim." So in this pasuk you see the expression of because of your embarrassment, so I will offer you atonement. Bekafri loch loshen kapora. The Gemara says, no, this isn't a good source. This is a rejection. Dilma tzibor shiny. Maybe when it comes to the public, there is a different standard that's applied. So the embarrassment that is experienced by the public will be an atonement factor, but not necessarily on a private level. Elo mehocha, but rather from the following. Now here, we have a pasuk that lasts about five lines, and the Gemara will explain how we see the idea of embarrassment in this pasuk. But so before we go on, maybe just a note of historical nature. Shaul HaMelech was a king that ruled for about 2 years, and a rather short amount of time. He ran into trouble toward the end of his monarchy. We're dealing here with a point in time where Shmuel Hanavi has already passed away, and Shaul is looking for counsel. He's looking for assistance because he is beleaguered by war. So in trying to seek assistance and counsel, Shaul, as a last resort, he finds no one to help him, so from the simple storyline of the Tanakh, we would say that he raises Shmuel from the dead. But that's a it's an oversimplification of what happened there. I recommend looking carefully in the Meforshim on the regarding the story of Shmuel Perek Aleph Pasuk Chav Ches. However, for our purposes, we can simply mention that idea that he consulted with Shmuel after Shmuel's demise. And the Gemara will point out that one thing is missing here, and that is that Shaul did not consult with the Urim V'Tumim, the Kohen Gadol with his breastplate that was capable of answering questions in a miraculous fashion. This actually is something, the Urim V'Tumim, we learned way back at the beginning of our perek, when the nation of Israel needed sustenance, so they would have consulted with the Urim V'Tumim, as the Gemara mentioned there. Why is it that Shaul did not consult with the Urim V'Tumim? Well, he was embarrassed to approach the Kohen Gadol, because Shaul HaMelech was involved in the massacre of Nov,
Ir HaKohanim. Nov was the name of a city in which it was a city of Kohanim, and he massacred them earlier on, and therefore he was too embarrassed to go to the surviving Kohen Gadol and consult with the Urim Vetumim. And the Gemara then will ask, well, how do we know that he received atonement? And the Gemara will answer that when we get to it. So now we continue in the Gemara itself. Elo mehocha. Rather, from the following, we will see this idea that through embarrassment, one achieves atonement. Embarrassment, of course, we're talking about embarrassment over sins having been committed. The pasuk says, "Vayomer Shmuel al el Shol." When Shol approached Shmuel, and we're talking about Shmuel was already dead at this point. Shmuel says to Shaul, "Lama higaztana al-sasi? Why have you caused me disturbance by raising me?" We mentioned like raising from the dead, but in the sense consulting with the spirit of Shmuel. Vayomer Shaul answers, "Tsarli moid, I'm under great strain, great trouble. Uplishtim nuchomim bi, the Philistines are warring with me. Vashem sormei alai v'lo aneni, the Almighty has departed me and is not answering me. V'lo aneni oid, gam b'yad hanaviim, gam b'chalomos, whether it be through the prophets that I have approached. Don't think that I'm coming to you as a first choice. I tried," says Shaul, "I tried through approaching the prophets. I tried through dreams. Ve'ekra l'chol odieni ma'asen, and therefore, since no one else answered me, I'm calling upon you to inform me what to do." That's the end of the pasuk. However, the Gemara now points out, "Yilu urim v'tumim lokamar." Doesn't say that amongst the different sources of consultation that he sought out the counsel provided by the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol, which, as we mentioned, did answer questions posed to it in a miraculous fashion. Why didn't he mention the Urim V'tumim, which was worn by the Kohen Gadol? Mishum dekatle lenov ir hakohanim. He had earlier on massacred the population of Nov, the city of Kohanim, and he was embarrassed to go to the Kohen Gadol, and therefore he avoided mentioning that. The Rashi says, "The gam b'chalomos gam b'neviim v'lo omar le gam b'urim l'fi shenizbayesh mimenu." Shaul was embarrassed. Shelo yomar lo. He was embarrassed to say to Shmuel that I went to the Urim v'Tumim, because Shmuel would then say to him, "Well, I told garamta latzmachol shelo neis b'urim v'Tumim. You brought it upon yourself that you weren't answered through the Urim v'Tumim l'fi sharaktes hakayhanim, because you massacred the kayhanim who were led by the, in this case, the Kohen Gadol." So he was embarrassed to say that he wasn't answered by the Urim V'Tumim, and so you see embarrassment for having committed the massacre. From where do we see that he received forgiveness from on high, from heaven? Shinemar, the pasuk says, "Umochar ato uvonecho imi," a reference to a prophetic word about Shaul's imminent demise. However, the word in this pasuk that you see, "imi," means "together with me." The Omar Rav Yochanan explains, "Imi b'mechitzasi," where the Almighty says, communicates through the prophet to Shaul, that tomorrow he, Shaul, and his sons will be in heaven, but in heaven means in heaven with me. Well, to be mechitzasi, to be in the inner sanctum, within the mechitza, within the boundaries of the Almighty, that shows forgiveness, obviously. A wicked person wouldn't be described as someone together with the Almighty in heaven. V'rabbonan amri mehocha, another source for this point that Shaul HaMelech was forgiven. The pasuk says, "V'hokanum l'Hashem b'givas Shaul b'chir Hashem." That is a pasuk. Without getting into the historical background of this particular pasuk, the Rashi gives us more of a background. But for our purposes, it it says, it makes a reference here to some people being, in this case, they were hung. Begivas Shaul Bechir Hashem. Bechir Hashem means the chosen one of Hashem. Yotza Baskol V'Yomra, a heavenly voice came out saying Bechir Hashem. In other words, if you look in the Rashi who gives the required background for this pasuk, there are actually two speakers in this pasuk. The first were the Givonim, people who were taking vengeance on the house of Shaul for cutting off their livelihood, and they proclaimed V'hokanum Lashem Begivas Shaul. These Givonim people who felt they were victim of Shaul, they said, well, they want his descendants to be killed as vengeance for their suffering. And they mentioned Begivas Shaul in a location. Givas is usually a hill, the mountain or hill of Shaul. Upon the mention of Shaul's name, a heavenly voice came and added, "Oh, Bechir Hashem, he is the chosen one." The chosen one of Hashem, showing us that he is a tzaddik. He is having achieved forgiveness for his sin through heavenly forgiveness. Omar Rabbi Avo Bar Zutrasi, Omar Rav Yehuda Bar Zavida. Bikshulik Boa Parshas Bolok, Bikriya Shema. There was a thought to include the Torah portion of Bolok in the Kriya Shema. So why did they decide not to add that to the morning davening, or to the we'll call it to the davening to the prayer service? Why not mishum torach tzibur? Because of the trouble or delay that it would cause the public. It's a long section, and it would be time-consuming, causing tircha, a burden for the public, for the tzibur. My taima, why did they want to establish it in the first place? And so, there are a couple attempts here. I leimo mishum dechsiv ba keil motziyomi mitzrayim. If it's because in Parshas Bolok there is a pasuk that says that the Almighty took the Jews out of Egypt, and it's part of the theme of Kriya Shema is the theme of Geula, of redemption, as we've seen in previous sugyas of being Soymech Geula L'Tfila. So if it's because there is reference in Parshas Bolok to the Jews having been taken out of Mitzrayim, well then Leimo Parshas Ribis, Parshas Mishkolos, Dichtiv Bohen Yitzias Vram, then other Parshios should be said as well. There's the parsha dealing with the prohibition of taking interest, ribis, or the parsha of the Torah dealing with accurate weights, in weights and measures, that Mitzrayim, the exodus from Mitzrayim is mentioned. Elo Omar Rav Yossi Bar Oven. Why was there a thought to include specifically Parshas Bolok and not other sections? Mishum dechsiv bo hai kro, because the following pasuk appears. Korah shochav ki'ari uchlovi mi yikemenu. In this pasuk, there is a reference to shchiva, the bending over, like a lion crouches, and lovi, another name of a lion, mi yikemenu, who will be arisen. What's the point over here? We see that in Parshas Bolok, there's a pasuk that mentions shchiva and kima, which are elements that are mentioned in the Kriya Shema b'shoach v'cha uvukumecha. V'leimo, the Gemara asks, V'leimo hai psuka v'sulo, if the reason for avoiding Parshas Bolok is because of its length, so then say just this pasuk, and you'll accomplish your goal of having an additional mention of shchiva and kima. The Gemara answers, Gemiri, we have a tradition called Parsha de Poska Moshe Rabbeinu Paskinon. Any section that Moshe Rabbeinu broke up into sections, so we break up. The Lo Poska Moshe Rabbeinu Lo Paskinon. If it's a Torah section that hasn't been broken up into, we'll call it paragraph form for lack of better expression, even though that's not an accurate, it's not a literal
It's not an exact translation, but it's the Torah is broken down into different parshios, different sections. So this parsha is not broken up. It wasn't broken up or subdivided by Moshe Rabbeinu. Therefore, we cannot do that on our own. Therefore, we can't take out just an isolated pasuk from Parshas Balak and recite it in an isolated fashion. Parshas Tzitzis mitnei ma'kavua. Why has Parshas Tzitzis been established as part of the Kriya Shema? Omar Rav Yehuda bar Chaviva mitnei shiyesh bo shisha dvorim. It has six ideas, 6 points are mentioned, and we want to mention them as part of the Kriya Shema. What are the 6 points? Mitzvah Tzitzis, Yitzias Mitzrayim, the leaving from Egypt, Oil Mitzvahs, the idea of our acceptance upon ourselves, the yoke of Mitzvahs, the body of Mitzvahs, Vidas Minim, the reference to the ways of heretics, in other words, to avoid the ways of heretics, Hirhur Avera, to avoid thoughts, sinful thoughts, the Hirhur Avodah Zarah, and to avoid thoughts concerning idolatry. So Bishlamo Hani Klas Meforshin. Three of these six are very clear. They are self-evident. Oil Mitzvahs, Dichtiv, Reisem Oisoy Zechatim is called Mitzvahs Hashem. The Pasuk makes reference to when looking upon the Tzitzis, that reminds you of all of the Kodesh Baruch Hu's Mitzvahs. Tzitzis, Dichtiv, Yosu Lohem Tzitzis. That's black on white. That it says in there, you shall make for your garments Tzitzis. Yitzias Mitzrayim Dichtiv Asher Hotseisi V'chulei, it says that I took you out of Egypt. So those are 3 points that are clear in the Psukim. Ela Das Minim Hiru Avera V'Hiru Avodah Zarah Menolan. But these 3 points, where do you see a reference to them in the Parsha of Tzitzis? So the Gemara answers, Desanya. The Pasuk says, it says, Lo Sosur Achrei Levavchem V'Achrei Nechem. So Achrei Levavchem Zu Minus. Don't follow the ways of your heart. What is that a reference to? That's a reference to heresy. V'cheinu Omer, Omar Novo Belivoi, Ein Elokim. The lowly one says in his heart, the lowly meaning the Novo, the disgusting one, says in his heart, there is no Elokim. So that idea of denier is a reference to a heretic. So in this pasuk you see belibo together with the denier. So we see that achrei levavchem is a reference to the heretic. Achrei einechem zu hira avera. Don't follow your eyes. That's a reference to immoral thoughts. Shenemar vayoymer Shimshon el Aviv. Oiso kachli ki yishora be'enai. You have Shimshon saying to his father that he wants to take a woman because she is considered fit, and the emphasis here is in his eyes. So the eyes, and there, without getting into detail, because when dealing with the righteous leaders of the Jewish people, one has to be careful in not lowering them to a type of lowly base position as often one thinks of commoners. But nevertheless, there was an element of Shimshon and the woman that he wanted that had some type of lustful purpose or desire. But we say this with great hesitation. Nevertheless, the word be'enai is added in there, showing us that he was trying to follow his own personal desires, amongst other things, in pursuing that woman. So you see Einai mentioned, and the Pasuk in Kriya Shema says Einechem, eyes. So Einai is associated with thoughts of an immoral nature. Atem Zoinim Ze Hirhur Avodah Zarah. Atem Zoinim is found in Parsha Tzitzis, and that's a reference to thoughts of an idolatrous nature. V'cheinu Omer, in the context of idolatry, you see a similar word. It says Vayiznu Achrei HaBaalim. Baalim was the name of an idol, the Baal idol. And you see Vayiznu, similar to the word Zonim, hence a reference to idolatrous thoughts. So that you see, 6 points are mentioned in Parshas Sisis that we want to make reference to every day. The Mishnah, Maskirin Yitzias Mitzrayim Balelois. One is to make reference of the Exodus in the evening. Rashi says, Maskirin Yitzias Mitzrayim Balelois, Parshas Sisis. That is referred to in Parshas Sitzis. B'kriya Shema, fal pi she'ein sitzis, ein laila zman sitzis, even though the evening is not the time for the performance of sitzis, skipping the brackets for a moment, omrim osoba laila, we say Parshas Sitzis anyway, b'nei yitzias Mitzrayim sheba, because of the reference to the Almighty having taken us out of Egypt that you find in that section. Now we skip this little this line in Rashi simply to make the reading easier, but it says as well that Laila is not Zman of Sitzis, Dichtivu Isem Oisoyu Zechartem, that you shall see them and you will be reminded of the mitzvahs. Well, you don't see at night, and the night is a state of time that under natural circumstances there is no light. Hence, you cannot speak about the seeing of the Sitzis. And why do we mention Parshat Sitzis anyway at night? Because of the Exodus from Mitzrayim aspect. The Mishnah continues, Amar Rav Elazar ben Azariah. This may be familiar, this Mishnah may be familiar to many people, even if they haven't learned this Masechta before, but they have participated in a Seder night of Pesach. This is found as part of the text of the Haggadah. So, Amar Rav Elazar ben Azariah, Hare ani kiven shivim shana, I am like a man of 70. Rashi mentions that he wasn't actually 70 years old, but he became, he had aged miraculously, as is reflected in the story the Gemara relates on Daf Chof Ches, later in this Masechta. Hence he says, I am like a man of 70. V'lo zochisi sh'teyameh yitzias Mitzrayim balelos. And I wasn't successful in having people accept my idea that Yetzias Mitzrayim shall be mentioned at night, Ad Shedorsha Ben Zoma, until Ben Zoma came up with a source for this. Shenemar, the pasuk says, L'man Tizkor Es Yoyim Tzeischa Me'eretz Mitzrayim Kol Yemei Chayecha. The pasuk says that we are to recount the Exodus from Mitzrayim all of our lives. Yemei Chayecha, without the word kol in it, Yemei Chayecha is Hayomim, that's daytime. Kol Yemei Chayecha, the addition of the word kol is Halelos, comes to include the nights. So that's the approach taken by, that's the Drosha of Ben Zoma, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, having become aware of Ben Zoma also holding like him, so Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was able to say, now I can be successful in getting my point across and accepted. However, he is challenged, though, that the Chachamim Omrim, the Chachamim have a different drasha to this pasuk. Yemei Chayecha Ha'olam Hazeh, and Kol, the Kol edition, is Lehavi Limosa Moshiach, that in the time of Moshiach, the time of the ultimate Geula, there will also be a reference to Yetzias Mitzrayim. Tanya, we have a Tanaic source, continuing with this idea of the mention of Yetzias Mitzrayim at night and or in the future. Omar Lehem Ben Zoma Lachachamim. Ben Zoma, who darshaned the Kol to include night, not to include the future, so that according to Ben Zoma, it doesn't seem that there would be mention of Yetzias Mitzrayim in the future. Well, he says to them, V'chi maskirin Yetzias Mitzrayim b'mosa Mashiach, do you think that we will continue to make mention of Yetzias Mitzrayim after the great redemption of the in the time of the Mashiach? V'lo kvar nemar, it says, V'hinei yomim boyim, neum Hashem, a pasuk here that's a reference to the future, and it says in the pasuk, V'lo yom ru'od, they will no longer say, Chai Hashem, Asher Elos b'nei Yisrael Meretz Mitzrayim. They won't say that anymore. They won't talk about the Almighty as his being a redeemer from Mitzrayim. Ki'im, but rather they will say, Chai Hashem, Asher Helov, Asher Hevi, Ezera, Beis Yisrael, Meretz Tzfoino, Mikol Haaretz, Asher Yidachtem Sham. Reference will be made to the Almighty as being the
the ingatherer of the Jews from the great land of the north and from all other lands. So as far as Ben Zoma is concerned, there is no longer going to be mention made of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Omru lo, the Chachamim who said there will be mention, they explain as follows. Lo she'te'okir Yitzias Mitzrayim mekoimo, not that mention of Yitzias Mitzrayim will be uprooted from its position. El she'te' shibud malchus ikur Yitzias Mitzrayim tofelo. What this pasuk is telling us is that the magnitude of the ultimate redemption will be so great so as to render the exodus from Mitzrayim as something of a minor or subsidiary nature, something that's tofel. Tofel is something that's subsidiary in nature or second of lesser importance. So that's what the pasuk is telling us as far as the future is concerned, but there still will be mention of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Kayosibata Omer, likewise we see in the following, Lo Yikore Shimcha O Yankiv, Kiim Yisrael Yeshmecha, we know that Yankiv Avinu underwent a name change. He was after he strove with the angel. And he was able to defeat the angel. His name was changed to Yisrael. So the pasuk says, you won't be called Yankiv anymore, but rather Yisrael. Continuing at the top of Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, Lo Shia Okir Yankiv Imkomo, even though it says, Lo Yikore Shimcha, we've dashed underlined that, by the way, at the bottom of Yud Beis Amud Beis, similar to the dashed underlining of the Lo Yomar Ode in the pasuk dealing with the ultimate redemption. So here it says that he won't be called Yankiv anymore. So the Gemara, the Brisa points out, Lo Shiyakir Yankiv Mkomo, not that that name will be uprooted completely, not so. Elo Yisrael Iker V'Yankiv Tofilo. His main name will be Yisrael, and Yankiv being a subsidiary name. V'Chenu Omer, and it says, likewise, Al Tiz Kiru Rishonus V'Kadmonios Al Tiz Boinonu. The Brisa explains, Al Tizku Rishonos Ze Shibud Malchios. Don't mention the early ones. That's a reference to the Shibud Malchios, the enslavement by different kingdoms through history. The Kadmonios Al Tizboinu Zu Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's a reference to the exodus from Mitzrayim. Hineni Oise Chadosha Ata Titzmach. Tony Rav Yosef, regarding this posuk of Hineni Oise, that Rav Yosef explains, Zu Mechemes Gog u'Magog. This is a reference to the great war of Gog u'Magog, which eventually leads to the final redemption. So that we have a pasuk in Yeshaya that says, Al Tizku Rishenes Kamoes Az Bononu, Hine Oise Chadosh Ata Titzmach. Moshol L'mad Avar Doma. In order to appreciate this pasuk, we give you an analogy. A person walking on the road, he met up with a wolf, which is a threat to a person, and was saved from it. He then went and told all his friends about the incident involving the wolf. Subsequent to that, he encountered a lion, which is a greater threat, and then he continued in telling his friends no longer about the wolf, but rather about the lion incident and his salvation from it. Pogabo Nochash, he then met up later with a snake. Venitzal Mimeno, Shoch Maisa Shneem, Vahoya Mesabroch Maisa Nochash, forgot the original incidents, even though they were a fact. But he didn't mention them anymore and started to tell people about the salvation from the Nochash. Av Kach Yisrael, so too with the Jewish people. Soros Achroinus Mishachos Es Rishonos, the more recent troubles cause us to forget the earlier ones. So it's in that spirit that because of the Shibud Machios, the subsequent oppression through the generations that the Jews experienced, the place of Mitzrayim becomes of a secondary nature, and we place more emphasis on the more recent trials and tribulations. So this illustrates the point of not that no mention of Mitzrayim will be made, but more emphasis will be placed on more recent troubles and tribulations and their subsequent redemption.
This concludes today's Gemara section. For those who are interested, there follows a shiur on today's Tosfos.
So we turn back to Daf Yud Beis, Amud Aleph, and we notice the Tosfos
at the upper part of the page. The first Tosfos was part of the limud that we had on of Daf Yud Aleph. So we continue with the second Tosfos, Brocha Achas L'Mishmar HaYotzei. We learned from the Maseches Tomid, which was quoted here, that when there was a changeover of the Mishmaros of the Kehuna, a Brocha was recited by departing Mishmar on behalf of or in honor of the incoming Mishmar. Our Gemara has said that the Mishmar Hayotze Omer LeMishmar Nichnas a Brocha. Tosfos asks a question. Tema Ktsas. There is a little bit of a question here, a little wonderment. What do you mean Brocha? Brocha is a technical expression that has a format. My he. What brocha is there? Hoyo v'les bo lo shame v'lo malchus. There's no mention of the name of the Almighty in this passage that was quoted in the Gemara, nor is there any reference to his monarchy. And we actually had learned there's a machlokas Rav and Shmuel.
What constitutes Rav and Rabbi Yochanan on the first of the wide lines of the Gemara? And second of the wide lines, we saw Rav and Rabbi Yochanan arguing about what constitutes the minimum text of a bracha. But as far as the Mishmar HaYotzei is concerned, there is no mention of the name of the Almighty. So why is it categorized as a bracha? That's his question, but we leave it as that. Posach v'yomar, Baruch ato Hashem elkeinu melech ha'olam, v'yasovur shehoya yayin. We saw in our Gemara a case of someone opening up a bracha while holding a cup of beer, but thinking that it's wine. The hevin shoya shechar, and then he was reminded it was really beer. The achar shehevin shoya shechar siem shakol. So Tosfos is telling us that what does it mean the opening of a bracha? That is when you say the words Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam. The Tosfos continues, Loi, Vasuye Nahamo.
We were trying to resolve the question of the fellow holding the cup of beer and opening up with the incorrect wine brocha intention, and we thought we were going to resolve that from the expression of Klolo Shodovar Hakoach Achosum. He more than rejected it and said, Lo, Lasuye Nahamo. The Klolo Shodovar expression is coming to include the case of Nahamo. Nahamo is the case of the bread. However, our question, as we saw in the Gemara, was not resolved. The question of the beer with the opening wine mindset.
Upirish Rav Alphus, the Rif says, Hashtadulo Ifshita Ba'ayon,
since our question hasn't been resolved, Azlinon Lekula, we go lenient, we take the lenient approach, Vafilu Pasach Bechamra, fellow holding cup of beer, even if he opened up with a wine intention, V'siyein B'shichra Yotza, since he closed with a Shehakol, which is a Vibrocha for beer, he fulfills his requirement. V'ri hoya omer l'chumra t'tzorch l'vorech pamacheres. The Ri disagrees with the Rif and says that you have to make a second brocha. You have to make a brocha with a proper intention. In other words, the fact that you had a wine intention at the beginning is a total ruination as far as the Ri is concerned. Umiyu hoya omer Rabbeinu Chananel, im hoya yodea b'birur shita b'diburo, if you have someone that knows clearly that he made a mistake in that which he said, Sha'omar Bore Pri Ho'etz Tachas Pri Hagofen, the Besoch Kedei Dibur Yochol Lachzer Bo. It would sound from this that we're talking about a case of someone who should have said Borei Pri Hagefen. So he's holding a cup of wine, and he said instead Borei Pri Ho'etz. But Toch Kedei Dibur, within a very short amount of time, which is known as Toch Kedei Dibur, the amount of time it would take to say two or three words, and within that time frame he corrected himself. So he can go back. He doesn't have to go back. In other words, that would serve as a correction. V'chein b'yom tov, b'chasimo shel yom tov. Likewise, with regard to yom tov, in the davening, where one is supposed to end off, mekadesh Yisrael v'hazmanim, im to'ah, if he made a mistake, bein mekadesh Yisrael v'hazmanim v'yomer mekadesh Shabbos. It's a Yom Tov davening, and instead he says Mekadesh Shabbos, the Chazar B'Soch Kedei Dibur, and corrected himself within that short time frame called Toch Kedei Dibur, Yotza Achrei Shiyodea Shu Yom Tov. He knows it's Yom Tov, the wrong words came out. So if he makes this correction, he that suffices. V'hikshom HaRabbeinu Rav Yankiv Mikinoin, Mai Komi Boyalei. What is the problem here to begin with? V'hovarei mitzvus einon tzrichos kavona. If our whole question deals with a simple issue of intention, namely, while he is saying the opening, Baruch Atah Hashem, he has in the case of the beer that he's holding, he's thinking wine. Thinking is called kavona, intention alone. But we hold that mitzvahs don't require intention. So if that be the case, why make a whole to-do about this anyway? Bottom line is, the man finished with the right text. Nothing came out incorrectly. The only thing that might have been a problem was wrong intention, but mitzvahs ain't tzrichas kavona. Vayomari dahainu b'shemea tfilo achorei beis haknesis v'lo niskavein lotzeis. The idea of mitzvahs ein tzrichas kavona is true and is applicable to someone who, let us say, heard the davening and didn't think to take advantage of what he hears in order to fulfill his tefillah requirement. So we will tell you, even though you didn't have intention to be yotze, you will be yotze. Aval hecho diniskave levorech al hayayin. However, here, it's not just lack of intention. Here, there's a problem of wrongful intention. This is a more serious situation. He intended for something else. So in that case, we will tell you that his wrongful intention prevents him from being yotze. Lahagid Baboker Chazdecha. This was cited in the Gemara as a source for the necessity of saying Emes V'yatziv in the morning, and Ve'emunus Chabalelos, and the basis of saying Emes Ve'emuna at night. And we're of course referring to the brachas, the first bracha following the Kriyat Shema by day and by night. Tosfos explains. When we say Lahagid Baboker Chazdecha, Chesed Shakadosh Baruch Hu Osa Lanu B'Mitzrayim, the kindness that the Almighty showed us with regard to our stay in Mitzrayim and subsequent Exodus. Ve'emunascha Pirush Medaber Al Ha'osid. Emuna is an expression referring to faith and trust. So it's our faith regarding the future. Shonu mitzapim shishmor haftochoso v'emunosoi, that he will keep his promise V'igolenu miyad hamalochim, and redeem us from other kings. Ubasof bracha chozu ligula, and at the end, where we say Goal Yisrael, we return to the original Egypt redemption. That's ligula de paro, redemption from paro, kidei lismoch ligual Yisrael. Namely, at the end of that paragraph of Emes Femuna, at the end, before we end off with the signing off of Goal Yisrael, which is a text in the past tense, so we make reference once again toward the end of the paragraph of Emes Ve'emunah to the Exodus from Mitzrayim, so as to have an appropriate closing text before the signing off bracha. So therefore, for you, everyone is familiar with what we say. We say toward the latter part of Emes Ve'emunah, we say that he did miracles for us. He does miracles, and he took vengeance on Paro. Vayotze es amo yisom mitochem l'cherizom avibonav ben gizre yamsuf. All a reference to the Egyptian Exodus. So that even though the nighttime Emes Ve'emunah is geared for expression of hope for the future, nevertheless there is also a reference to Mitzrayim, so as to tie it into the closing bracha of Baruch Atah Hashem Goal Yisrael, He who redeemed in the past the nation of Israel. Inami al derech hamedrash chadoshim labukorim rabo emunosecha she'odo mamin umafkid ruchoi biyodo umachzira belo yegia. This is a second approach to what the theme of Emes Ve'emunah, of our expression of hope, is the hope that is involved in our entrusting our spirit. When we go to sleep, we entrust our spirit into the hands of the Almighty, and it is our hope that He returns it to us without effort in the morning. Emes v'yatziv v'chulei. When we speak about the truth, we say emes v'yatziv v'nochon v'kayim, all of those words that are expressions of the truth, lokoi al hashchina. It's not a reference to the divine presence, but rather it is a reference to the expression that we say elokoi a hadovor hazeh. Which is, you see that in the text of the Emes V'yatziv, after these words of it is true, what is true? Hadovar hazeh. As opposed to thinking that it's a reference to the Shechina. V'chein Isa b'haram. The Ram mentions that as well. V'isa b'Yushalmi, hai marganisa deles be'taymo. The Yushalmi makes reference to a marganisa, precious stone or a pearl that has literally no value, means beyond value. Pir she'ein lo shuma. It has no value in the sense of its great value. Kol ma shemeshabeach mizgani lo. Anything that you say positive about it won't be sufficient, and hence it'll be gnai. It'll be in effect a denigration of it. Kedamar lo kamon, as the Gemara says later. Bechad de Pasach v'yomar, referring to a person who got up in the davening and said he overdid it. He started Hokel, Hagodol, Hagibor, Vahanoro, and he went on the Hoyamari Harbe and went on with all kinds of other praises of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Amalei Reb Chanina, and Reb Chanina said sarcastically, Siyamta l'shvochi demorach, did you finish the praises of your master, of the Almighty? Ki kol peh lo yuchal l'saber shvocho. Person is incapable of saying the praise of the Almighty. Therefore, when at the opening of Tosfos says that all of these words, emes v'yatziv v'nochon, all of these words, which were words of praise, they're words of praise indicating the truth of the matter, can't be referring to the divine presence, because when it comes to multitude praises of the divine presence, that would be counterproductive.
You're trying to say praise of something that's beyond praise. Therefore, it was important to note that all of those words are a reference to Hadavar Hazeh. The Davar Hazeh, if you look in the context, is coming on the heels of the last paragraph of the Kriya Shema, which dealt with Yetzias Mitzrayim. So that there is a reference here to the truthfulness of the Yetzias Mitzrayim and the subsequent performance of all of Hashem's mitzvahs. But what we're trying to emphasize here is that all of these words of praise of Emes, V'yatsi, V'nochon, V'kayim, V'yoshua, and all of this is not a reference to the Almighty Himself, but rather to His having taken us out of Mitzrayim with the intention of our fulfilling His mitzvahs, as is indicated right before these words of praise when you look at the text of the Parshat Tzitzis. Continuing at the top of Yud Beis Amud Beis, Korah Kechizra.
In describing the bowing of the Shmona Esrei, the Gemara mentioned that when Rav Sheshes would reposition himself in an upright form, he would do so like a chivya, often translated as a snake, in a slow fashion, with his head rising first and then the rest of his body. The Tosfos, Korah Kechizra, he would go down like a stick, which was a rapid one action rapid movement. Ulekamun Amrinan, later in the Gemara Daf Chof Ches, it says Ad Shira Kiser, when discussing how far should one bow, one should bow so much so that a fold of skin would appear on his chest. Pirush lo sagi bekriya levad. Now, it's my impression, and it was based on this that we explained the Gemara. We had explained in our Gemara section this piece of Gemara using the Tosfos' pshat. We also mentioned that korah is something that's associated with knees, a knee bend. So, and that's based on what one sees in a Gemara elsewhere, that where the Gemara says kriya v'birkayim and ishtachavoya is pishut yadayim v'raglayim. So Tosfos is saying here that lo sagi b'kriya, it's not enough to do a knee bend, the rosho zokuf, while leaving the rest of your torso erect with your head facing forward. That wouldn't fulfill what the Gemara says on Chof Ches, where in the bending there should also be a type of a fold or flap of skin on one's chest. Elaboy nami shiyachuf harosh. He also has to bend his head. But once again, bending the head, I don't believe would accomplish what the Gemara says is yirek isar, because that Gemara is referring to a fold of skin on one's chest. So therefore, yachuf rosho would seem to be a reference to the person's bending of his torso at the waist. So what are we describing? Where he bends his knees and he bends over his entire body at the waist, and his head facing downwards, and that would form this flap or fold of flesh opposite one's chest. V'chein isa b'Yerushalmi d'pirkin. Likewise, in the Yerushalmi of our perek, ubelvad shelo yoshuach yoiser midai. There, the Gemara says not to bend too much. Omar Rabbi Yirmiyahu, ubelvad shelo yase kehodein charduna. Provided one doesn't make himself like a charduna, v'hainu targum Yerushalmi shel tzav. That is the targum Yerushalmi of the creature known as a tzav. V'atzav k'shu shoche. The tzav, when it bends over, rosha zokuf, so that the Rav Yirmiya is telling us not to make himself like a tzav, whose bending over is such that its head remains erect. And therefore, like we explained earlier, that based on the Gemara on Daf Chof Ches, one bends over, not only does he bend his knees, but he bends over his torso as well, with his head facing downwards. There are those that practice when it comes to the Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur davening that they remain bent over all throughout their davening, specifically throughout their Shmoneh Esrei. they have to be careful though. Tzorach lizur she yagbia kidem shisayim abrocha, that before they get to the brochas that require bending, require bowing, they should first straighten themselves out from their previous bent position. So once they're straight, and now continue to recite the brocha with the appropriate bending. Rak shiyichra beboruch. They, having done that, having straightened yourself out before the brocha, then you'll bend for the baruch. V'shiyagbia miyad, and then straighten himself out. D'amrin l'kamon, sofein omdin, says at the end of the fifth parak, in ba lishchois tchilas kol brocha v'sof kol brocha, melamdin oisoi shelo yishche. If a person thinks to bend over at the beginning and end of each bracha, we tell him not to do it. There is a necessity for being straight as well. And therefore, the instruction is that if on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, if one is has this practice of saying those saying the Shemoneh Esrei of Rosh Yom Kippur in a bent over fashion, he should be careful to straighten himself out right before the bracha, do the necessary bending for the bracha and the necessary straightening out as well, and after that he can go back to his bent over position for the balance of the text. There was a machlokis between Rav Yosef and Rabbo regarding during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva what happens if one says Hokel HaKadosh. Rav Yosef said he will be Yotzei, and Rabbo said he won't be Yotzei. So the Tosfos says that Halacha is like Rabbo, that Tzorch Lachtoim HaMelech HaKadosh VaHamelech HaMishpat, that one has to sign off those brachas with that Loshon, with that text, V'im Lo Omar, and if he doesn't do it, Machzirin Oso. If he doesn't make those changes, HaMelech HaKadosh and HaMelech HaMishpat, he has to go back. He has to say it properly. V'chein zochreinu u'michomoicho u'chsov l'chayim u'besefer chayim. Four more passages that are added. These aren't changes, but they're additions to the Shemoneh Esrei. If he doesn't say it, ma'chzirin osoim lo omar. If he doesn't say it, he has to go back and say it properly. Anyone who changes from the form that the Chachomim established for the davening, has not fulfilled his davening requirement. If a person is in doubt during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva whether he said the right thing or not, he must go back and daven again, as it says in the first perek of Maseches Tainis Yerushalmi, Hoya Mispalo V'eino Yodea Im Hiskir Talu Moter V'im Lav. If a person is davening and he doesn't know whether he made mention of Talu Moter or not, so we say as follows: Kol Shloshim Yoim B'cheskes Shelo Lomud. During the first 30 days since the change was supposed to be made, if you're dealing with a change in the for the sake of saying Talu Moter, so you're talking about a change in the winter months. So if you didn't make the change, if you have a doubt whether you made the change or not, so if it's within 30 days from the date that you're supposed to make the change, becheskas shelo lomud. Lomud means accustomed. Pirush shelo omar. He's becheskas. He's with the status of not having said it. Elakmoshu lomud arata shelo omar kein. Rather, he is accustomed to not having said it. Achar came after 30 days, Becheskas Shehizkir. He is then assumed to have mentioned what he is supposed to mention. Fuadin l'chol advarim shesoch lahazkir, kachadin. Likewise, with regarding to all things that one is supposed to say, it depends on this 30-day factor. The Im Kane, since it's dependent on the 30-day factor, whether it's 30 days within 30 days of the date of the having to make the change or it's beyond 30 days. Therefore, when it comes to Aseres Yemei Tshuva, the Lekos Shloshim Yoyim Tzorach Lachzor, you don't have 30 days to deal with. So if there's any issue of a doubt, you have to go back and daven again. And all of this is based on the principle of Kol HaMeshaneh Mimatbea Shetovu Chachomim. Anyone who changes from the form that the Chachamim established,
You haven't fulfilled your requirements. Rabbeinu Hananel Kosav the Ein Machzirin Oisoi Mikol Oisan Dvorim. Rabbeinu Hananel says we don't make him go back from with regard to all of the things we mentioned here. The Lo Posak B'Sefer B'Feirush. It wasn't that we don't have in certainly in the Gemara. There's no clear psak on the issue. There's no definitive final ruling. The Hevi Raya L'Dvarav, and the Rabbeinu Hananel brings proof to his point of view. Now, as we said earlier, when we are learning in our Gemara marking shir, we are not coming to any halacha lemaisa conclusions, because if one does look in the halacha lemaisa, he will see a sort of compromise between these two opinions. The first opinion saying he has to go back, and the second opinion saying he doesn't have to go back. Where in certain cases he will, in certain cases no. But that's beyond the purview of our Gemara markings daf yomi shir. Bikshu likboya parshas bolok v'parshas kriyashma. The Gemara mentioned that there was a thought to include Parshas Bolak together with the Kriyashma, with Neymalo Kavua, why wasn't it established? Is Vechule, and the Gemara said because of the Torah. Isa Rishami, the Oisin Shlosha Parshas Tikkun Kriyashma, the Rishami says that the three Parshas that we have that make up Kriyashma, we call the Parshas Shema, Voyim Shema, and Parshas Tzitzis, Lefisha Bohen, Aseres Hadibros. Because there is a hint in them to the Ten Commandments. V'ayin bo v'timtza kol. If you look into it, if you study it, you'll find those references. And it appears to me that what Tosis is alluding to is the fact that there's an allusion to the fact that before we mentioned that we don't include the Aseres Hadibros in the davening because of Tarumas Haminim, but nevertheless, there is a hint to the Aseres Hadibros, and so in the choice of the three paragraphs of the Kriyashma that we do, in fact, say. With that, we conclude our shiur for